Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. As we were going out on the rant, I was kind of musing about the political power of the NRA, and one of our chat room, one of the Johns, well, no, it's not a John. Well, you know, everyone in our chat room, by the way, is an honorary John. Michael, you're a John. Run around, you're a John. Howdy, you're a John. I've decided that our chat room, by the way, the longtime listeners and fans of the Russ Belville Show shall henceforth be known as Reefer Radicals. And among the Reefer Radicals, everyone shall be named John. You can have a second name or whatever, but we're going to be like the Lectroids from Planet 10 in Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. They are all named John. Anyway, we were talking about in the rant how the NRA, right, and how Second Amendment people, as Donald Trump would call them, have such political clout, and part of that is their fervent belief in the absolute sanctity of the right to keep and bear arms. We can argue about the commas and the well-regulated militia part, but I'm not talking about the actual subject. I'm just talking about their political clout, their power, right? And how if cannabis consumers had more of that attitude toward the Ninth Amendment, which says just because we wrote a bunch of rights in the Constitution doesn't mean you have a bunch of other rights. And I think one of those rights has to be planting crops and sowing seeds and tending to your own consciousness. And the other part I didn't add to that rant, though, is about how drunk the Founding Fathers were. These guys were some heavy drinkers. You should check out the history, the constitutional bar tab. The bar tab from the constitutional conventions. These guys put away the liquor. Okay? So a bunch of drunk hemp farmers had to think that planting seeds, sowing crops, and getting fucked up were natural rights. I can't reconcile the equation where they don't think that. And so if we cannabis consumers had that attitude toward the Ninth Amendment, made that our pet amendment, right? And made that our crusade that we have a right to smoke pot. No matter what the hell you think about it, you have no right to tell us what we do with our bodies. Take some of that NRA rights thing and take some of that pro-choice, my body, my choice rhetoric. Add that together. That now we got support on both sides, you know, left and right. Are you pro-choice? Well, then you have to be pro-pot. My body, my choice. Oh, you're NRA? Oh, so you're all about constitutional rights and natural, well, now you're on our side too. I'm trying to appeal to both sides here, right? And so in the chat room, one of the Johns in the chat room, or honorary John, pointed out that the NRA also has a manufacturing base behind it in the gun manufacturers, right? It's like, oh yeah. It's amazing how much stronger your rights are when you have these major profitable corporations behind them. And so as we continue to legalize cannabis and we get more of these big cannabis businesses, we start to get lobbying power. We start to get clout. Here in Oregon, we've got a small case of that going on. So we've got the Eastern Oregon, or as I call it, Western Idaho. But all of Eastern Oregon, anti-pot, and they lobbied to get their special exemption from the state initiative so that when they make their bans, they don't automatically go on the ballot. Okay. So the leader who spearheaded that was a guy named Ted Farrioli out of Eastern Oregon. And so Ted Farrioli is like the Senate minority leader for the Republicans in Oregon. He, you know, stomped his feet until he got this passed. And to give him full credit, he's also the guy that got us the early sales of flour to recreational consumers out of our dispensaries. So he's, I'm not trying to paint him as a villain. He's, that was a great thing. I was like, thank you. And especially from who it came from. It's like, thank you. And you're just thinking, this has got to be a trick. This Republican guy's giving us pot sales early. What the? So anyway, Farrioli then endured the wrath of the medical marijuana patient community because folded into this thing of allowing the eastern counties to ban was not just the recreational bans, but the medical bans too. So that was kind of problematic. And so a activist named Stormy Ray, who, by the way, she was the proponent of our initial 1998 medical law initiative. Stormy Ray, she's a quadriplegic woman, a longtime patient. She ran against Ted Farrioli. Now, she didn't win, didn't even come close to winning, but she did get 4,000 votes. And so now we're starting to get all of this. We're starting to hear from Ted Farrioli's camp about, well, maybe we ought to revisit this and maybe we ought to look at that, kind of warming up to some of the cannabis people's needs, some of the patients' needs and so forth. So it's interesting that here we got this guy. And in Eastern Oregon, really your election is the primaries, right? Because the Democrats don't stand a chance, right? So there's another guy coming up challenging Farrioli for his seat, who's kind of pro-cannabis as well. And so now even Republicans in the state are having to scramble and adjust their ideology for the new realities. And these guys also, these Eastern Oregon guys who were so gung-ho on letting their towns and counties have these bans, they start to hear the stories of those places like Huntington. There's one little city in far Eastern Oregon. It's the only place, like little town of 700 or something. Little town that's got the only pot shop for miles, you know, hundreds of miles, revitalizing that community, increasing that city's budget. They hear those stories, start to question, maybe we made a mistake here. Hey, maybe the pot's not so bad. And that was a lot of the argument from some of those Eastern Oregon guys as well, was, you know, just culturally, they're not ready for it. Let's not force it on them right now. But as time goes by, they'll come around. They'll change their minds. Maybe that's happening. I don't know. It's interesting how politics are starting to change as cannabis becomes legit and we get money. We got big money interests now that can play this lobbying game, that can play this political game. And it's going to be up to us as the cannabis consumers to ensure that those companies are pushing not just their own bottom line agenda, but also what's best for us as consumers. It's going to be up to us to maintain that they start taking stances against corporate drug testing, for example. And we can do it. I really think we're going to evolve a better sort of corporate entity. I hope so. I think as long as federal prohibition exists and it's Schedule One, and all these corporate entities have to pretty much stay at the state level, I think things are good. After 2020, when California starts kicking off their mega grows, and who knows, we got a second term Democrat and more than 35 states with medical marijuana, who knows where we'll be, but it's interesting to think about. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a judge rules against an employee, a medical marijuana patient in Delaware. We'll tell you why.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter from Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to like track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 13 after the hour, and of course, we're passing medical cannabis laws all across America, 25 states, Puerto Rico, Guam, and Washington, D.C. all have medical cannabis laws of varying effectiveness. But in all the states so far, well, I can't say all of them. I think Massachusetts has an employee protection, and maybe some of the newer ones, but at least in the earliest medical marijuana states, the best known ones, it's been impossible as a medical marijuana patient to have any sort of guarantee as to your employment. I've had cases in Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, and Michigan that have gone all the way to their state's Supreme Courts, and they've all found that just because you're a medical marijuana patient doesn't mean your employer can't have a drug-free workplace and have pee tests and fire you or not hire you if you are a cannabis consumer. So this has been long known out west here, and it's not right. But it's the way it is because cannabis is federally illegal. It all goes back to the whole Schedule I drug thing. Also, in a lot of these early medical cannabis laws, they explicitly state that there's no accommodation for medical marijuana in the workplace. And accommodation gets stretched to mean that your medical marijuana doesn't mean we can't fire you. We meant accommodation meant you don't have to let them smoke pot at work. And that when you're not explicit about things, sometimes that's the way the law goes for you, right? Well, there's this story that I fell upon today out of Delaware Online about a receptionist who used to work in the town of Ocean View, Delaware, worked at the town hall. She lost her job. And she lost her job because she tested positive
on a drug test. And after she tested positive, refused to stop using cannabis, and then got on her Facebook page and complained about it. And so, yeah, she got fired. She is a medical marijuana patient. She uses marijuana daily to cope with Lyme disease. But a court ruled that now she got fired, right? And then they wouldn't give her unemployment because she got fired for cause. She got fired for violating Ocean View Town Hall's drug-free workplace policies. They're anti-drug, anti-marijuana policies. So she couldn't get unemployment, and so she sued, and the first court agreed with her, said, no, she wasn't fired for cause. She didn't do anything wrong in her job. And so she was able to get her unemployment. And so she started to get her unemployment checks. Well, the town then goes and appeals that decision. And this is what we got out of the appeals court, is that no, she was fired for cause. And because of that, now she has to give back the $8,000 in unemployment benefits that she got. How nice is that? You win the case, you get your unemployment, you're finally able to pay the bills and live, and then, nope, psych, give all that money back. You didn't spend it, did you? So the sad thing here is the timing of all of it, because as lousy as a decision it is, as it is, the judge is absolutely right in this case. And here's why. At the time that this woman got busted failing her P test at work, she was not a medical marijuana patient. Furthermore, at the time she got busted, it was May of, what was the year here? It was May of 2011 that she got busted. Decriminalization didn't happen in Delaware till December of that year. So it wasn't even decrim marijuana that she's possessing or using. It was fully illegal. And in her defense, she argued that her job should be protected because the Delaware medical marijuana law has some sort of protection for people's employment. So she sued, and part of her defense here was that she would have a medical marijuana card for her condition, but the state of Delaware was so slow in getting their program off the ground that she was unable to get a medical marijuana card. She has one now, but at the time she was failing the P test, she didn't have a medical card. And she's saying, well, I woulda, but the state didn't have their shit together. And the judge today said, sorry, that's not going to cut it. You can't blame your breaking the law on the state not facilitating you a way to not break the law in time. So it was a flimsy sort of case that she was offering. And the more I read through the actual decision, the more I read the decision, I was like, I can't believe that this actually made it all the way to appeal. Like the first court agreed with her. That was surprising to me. Arguing that you should have had I would have had a legal card. I would have had a driver's license, but I never got around to it just didn't make any sense to me. So this is on Delaware Online if you want to follow up on that. But it's just another one of those. I just thought it was a strange case to try to argue what you should have had, but the government didn't get their stuff together on time. I don't think that's going to fly in any sort of case. It's one of those dog eat your homework types of excuses, isn't it? But it does underscore the fact that our medical marijuana patients out there oftentimes have to choose between their health and their employment because of this continued drug testing.
I drank beer heavily and tried drugs enthusiastically.
Good for you, Mr. President. I knew there was something I liked about you. It's 420 here in the hot Pacific Northwest. It's up into the 90s out here. Oy vey. Time for our union-mandated safety briefing. When we come back, we'll talk about some What About the Children Reefer Madness in the state of Maine. I'm Radical Russ. We're back after this.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Today in Reefer Madness Debunked, we take a look at an op-ed in the Bangor Daily News by Patty Hamilton. Patty Hamilton is the public health director for the city of Bangor, Maine. And her op-ed says, "With legalization comes more marijuana use, and our children stand to lose the most." Now, it's important to note that this is one of those kind of statements, and you'll get a lot of these from prohibitionists, that are technically true, but misleading. So, the statement, "With legalization comes more marijuana use," that's true. "Our children stand to lose the most." Well, as far as who could be harmed from marijuana use, children would be most likely to be harmed. But the combination of those two sentences, the comma and the and, implying they have one to do with another, is the problem. With legalization comes more use of marijuana by adults, not children. So our children don't stand to lose the most. The surveys have shown that the fastest growing demographic of cannabis consumers are people over the age of 50. They've tripled in the past decade. The teen cannabis consumer numbers have stayed relatively the same. But Patty Hamilton goes on to write that despite our best efforts, the new users will likely include our children, and marijuana will make its way onto our school grounds. We know from sound validated research that marijuana may not be the most harmful drug, but it does not come without dangers. And so some of the dangers she lists, for some, addiction is a real possibility.
yeah, for anything, for some people, an addiction is a real possibility. But let's take a look at the severity of the addiction. Let's take a look at the worst case scenario of someone who's addicted to pot. It's not going to kill them. They're not going to overdose and die on it. They're not going to cause a lot of problems in society. We are fully willing to admit some people do not do well on pot. That does not give us license to punish the ones of us, the vast majority, who do well on pot. Especially in a society that makes that consideration for drinkers. If this were an argument about public health, we could see your point if you hadn't already conceded it to alcohol and tobacco. Oh, too late for them. There's nothing we can do. But you want to pick on the marijuana smokers. All right. She goes on also to say, for youth who are daily users, declines in measured intelligence, difficulty concentrating, memory problems, and greater risk of mental health disorders such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder have been demonstrated. Nobody wants any kids to be smoking pot daily for non-medical purposes. But taking the worst case scenario of what the worst kid involved with marijuana could be, and using that as the justification to continue arresting, fining, harassing, locking up cannabis consumers, and turning over a multi-billion dollar industry to criminal actors is quite disproportionate to the problem that you're worried about. She also says, does this mean everyone who uses will suffer these consequences? Of course not. What we do know is with greater access and availability, there will be greater use. This is particularly troublesome for our youth. Research indicates that adolescents, once thought to end at age 19, actually continues to age 25. The brain, particularly the centers for judgment and complex thinking, is still developing until that time. Well, that's pretty compelling stuff. Brain doesn't stop developing till 25, so I'm imagining then you are calling for the raise of the drinking age, the smoking age, the voting age, and the enlistment age to 25. Oh, no? We're going to keep the drinking age at 21. We're going to keep it so that people can use the incredibly harmful toxic alcohol that damages their developing brain to a far greater extent than cannabis ever would. We're going to pick on cannabis, though. We're going to let them smoke in some states at the age of 18, some at the age 19, a couple states now age of 21. We're going to let all that nicotine get them addicted and hook them, some of them for life, because their brains haven't developed all the way to 25. I'm sorry, I don't take seriously this, oh no, we're worried about people until age 25 argument, when, again, it's only cannabis you seem to make that argument about. Please, take that little factoid out to the next public town hall and talk about raising the drinking age in Maine to 25. See how well that flies. She also goes on to say that we know marijuana has the potential to be helpful in certain diseases. We know medications like antibiotics and non-steroidal pain relievers such as ibuprofen are certainly helpful, but with overuse, they can potentially cause harm. In fact, recent efforts within the medical and public health community have been aimed at encouraging providers and patients to limit the use of such medications. What we should be able to agree on is that, much like all medications, widespread use of marijuana should not be encouraged or condoned, especially among our youth. Now, here's another one of those classic bait and switch misdirections. The reason we're telling people to not use so many antibiotics is because the overuse of them is causing the bugs to become antibiotic resistant. There's a demonstrable harm from the overuse of the antibiotics. We're telling people to stop using so many non-steroidal pain relievers, NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, because the overuse of them is damaging people's livers.
So making the argument that we are supposed to be limiting the use of antibiotics and pain relievers to be an argument to limit our use of cannabis when its use could replace the antibiotics and pain relievers, we should be encouraging more of its use if you're trying to say we should have less of the antibiotics and NSAIDs. And again, why is this? I've never understood how these prohibitionists think prohibition is what's keeping kids from wanting to use any sort of drug. And that legalization somehow tells kids it's okay. They often like to say, well, obviously, because, you know, half the people drink alcohol and it's legal, but only, you know, 13% of the people smoke marijuana because it's illegal. But see how it's gone up since it's become more legal. More people are going to use it. How popular a drug is doesn't really have a whole lot to do with whether it's legal or illegal or scheduled or unscheduled. It has a whole lot to do with what is the effect of that drug. See, so many of these people won't accept that there is a supply and demand and that there's a lot of drugs on the menu and some items are cheeseburgers and lots of people eat them and love them. And other things are, you know, kimchi. They're perfectly decent foods, but not as likely to be ordered. The same applies with drugs. You got cannabis, LSD, PCP, and mushrooms and ecstasy, all in Schedule 1. But they're not all the same popularity. There are 33 million cannabis consumers. There's less than a million people that are munching on acid. Half a million, maybe, in this country. Ecstasy, you might have a million or so, party club kids and stuff. PCP, tens of thousands, I hope. I hope there's not a whole lot. There's all sorts of factors that have to do with how popular a drug is, and legality is one of the lesser factors. Now, as cannabis becomes legal, the people who do use cannabis use more of it. We've seen the ratio of daily to monthly pot smokers go from 1 in 9 to 1 in 3 as it's become more legal. And I know that from my own experience. You know, I've always been a fairly regular cannabis consumer, but back in the day, there were times when I would run dry back in Idaho. Here in Oregon, and with the work I do, it's rare there's a dry day. Very rare. And I've got plenty of supply, so I smoke more than I ever have. And that, by the definition of the Patty Hamiltons of the world, is in and of itself abuse and problematic and addictive. And for me, it's only made my life better and better. So, Patty Hamilton, strongly against the legalization of marijuana in Maine, because the world will fall apart if we take the market that already exists and the people that are already smoking and legitimize it and tax it and regulate it. How many states do you think? It's just interesting to me because, you know, we've done it in 4 states now. Sky hasn't fallen in any of them. They all seem to be doing just fine, and all sorts of towns and counties and the state itself are making all sorts of money. How many states do you think before they can't make that argument anymore? Before the sky is going to fall arguments can't be made? I mean, I'd have thought the gateway theory argument couldn't be made anymore, but some people still make it. There are people still making that there's more carcinogens in marijuana than there are in tobacco. These old reefer madness pieces, they die slow, painful deaths. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get rid of this one, how many states it's going to take. But I can tell you, California passing and life going on with legal pot in California, legal pot on the entire West Coast, I think that's going to change things pretty quickly. I don't know what the arguments are going to be. after we get this much legality going on in the United States? How are they, you know, it's going to increasingly become obvious to people that the only real reason people are rejecting marijuana legalization is cannabigotry. It's just a bigotry, a cultural bigotry against the people who use it or what they think cannabis represents, hippies or anti-Vietnam or, you know, whatever, left-wing politics, whatever it might be. I'd like to think that we can kill that. I'd like to think that after California passes by 2020, it'll be impossible to make the sky is going to fall argument. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about California legalization. Five things you ought to know.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer. Or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Quick update on the story we talked about earlier in the show. One of our headlines in Cannabis Radio News is how the Department of Justice Deputy Attorney General had announced that the federal government will no longer be utilizing the services of the private prison industry. 13 facilities around the United States housing over 22,000 federal prisoners being run by three private prison companies, the Corrections Corporations of America, the GEO Group, and the other guys whose name I forget. Anyway, upon the news of this happening today, on the New York Stock Exchange, Corrections Corporation of America's shares have plummeted from $27.22 a share to $21.40. They're down 21.38%. Ha ha ha! That's the kind of news I like to hear. Private prison corporations losing money makes me happy. So let's talk about California legalization, shall we? Proposition 64. I continue to get notes and comments from people. I got one on my Skype from a fella named Cody. And it's these people that, you know, there's this what do I call it? I'm not exactly sure, but these people that want to be rebels, they have in their mind some wild, you know, view of the world where everyone's out to get him. It's all conspiracies. The fix is in, and they're the noble rebels trying to take it all down. And so we get this with Prop 64, right? With the California legalization, because you get this group of people that is like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's backed by a billionaire. Therefore, it must be bad. Oh, it's 62 pages long. Therefore, there must be stuff hidden in there to trick us all. It's merely signing over the cannabis plant to the corporate entities of the world. Which, by the way, any legalization is signing cannabis over to corporate entities. Because any legalization is what creates a legal cannabis market, and any legal market is going to have corporate entities in it. Corporations are some of the entities that do business producing and selling products in America, and cannabis, once it's legalized, is a product. I don't get this. Now I think we can do better as far as building our industries, being more inclusive, more female leaders, more minority leaders, to have better business ethics, etc. But to think that cannabis is somehow completely immune from the laws and the rules and the traditions governing capitalism in this country just seems to me a little too woo-woo, a little too crystals for me, you know? Any legalization means there will be corporate entities involved. Because now it's legal, now it's a business, and corporations do business. So I get tired of that. Oh my God, it's signing it all over to the corporations. Good, that means it's legal. That means we're not going to get busted for it any. And to remember, the reverse of it is the only way we can keep the corporations out of marijuana is to continue to keep it illegal. That's the only way the corporations stay out of the marijuana business, is if it stays illegal. Then the only people that can be in the business are independent businessmen breaking the law and the cartels and the conspiracies that form from that. So, yes, legalizing is going to involve corporate entities. So I get this message from Cody. And it's set up, it's very concern trolly. You know what concern trolling is? Someone who's obviously against you, but they're trying to frame things in such a way to try to sway you. So he gives me four questions. This came to me on Saturday. So question one, they will dedicate to this to John McLaughlin, who passed away recently from the McLaughlin Group. Issue number one. Does the Prop 64 allow the legislature to amend with both majority and two-thirds votes any or all of this initiative as long as it meets the requirements of furthering the purpose, which is to control, regulate, and tax? Yeah, it does. The initiative is set up so that a bare majority is needed to maintain or improve Prop 64. Two-thirds is needed to make it more strict. But what he's getting at this is kind of a loaded question. So like, if you say yes to this, he'll say, aha, see, the further to further control, it's going to be more control. They only need a bare majority to control us. Ah, they'll control. That's what that's leading to. Which leads us to issue number two. He asks, do you believe that the greed for sales of recreational and increased taxes won't lead to lobbyists from Big Cannabis whining and dining the state lawmakers to get them to remove all home growing? No, I do not believe that. See, Colorado has greed for sales of recreational and increase taxing. And they have big cannabis industries and they have lobbyists and they're not arguing to remove home grow rights.
Oh, but that's Colorado. It's in their constitution. All right. Oregon.
Oregon has cannabis businesses. We're not lobbying to remove people's home grow rights. This idea, this is the, we can't vote for it because then the people in power are going to oppress us. If we vote for this thing, the corporations that make all the money from the weed, why, they're going to go to Sacramento and twist arms and make it so that they repeal the part that allows us to home grow. Now, keep in mind, repealing that part, remember from question one, it would take a two-thirds majority because they would be restricting. They'd be going against the purpose. They'd be restricting rights. They'd need a two-thirds majority, but that's what's going to happen. The corporations will come into control and fearing the competition from Bob growing his six plants in the closet, they are going to outlaw home growing. That's what they're going to do. So let's take that at face value. Let's just pretend that's possible. What you're telling me is that we could have a situation where the people in power make it illegal to grow cannabis plants at home, which is different than it is now. How? That's my ultimate argument to most of these things is that, like, we're oppressed now. Cops can arrest you now. They can forbid your home growing now. So you're trying to scare me with a scenario where it could be as bad as things are now? I don't see it. And it wouldn't even be as bad because we'd still have legal possession and legal pot shops to go shop at. So the scare doesn't make any sense. So let's go on to number three. Issue number three. Even though the state might not kill the rec home growing, thanks, the ability of local cities to ban and effectively regulate could result in places where there are only five or six home grow permits being issued at $100 a year, for example. Wait a minute. Wait. Well, stop. There are no home grow permits. It's not a permitting process. Everyone has the right to home grow. You can home grow six plants indoors. Nobody can ban that. There are no home grow permits. There are no local cities limiting them to five or six at $100 a pop. There is no money spent for any permit because no permit exists. He continues, are you confident that the people behind Prop 64 didn't design this as a Trojan horse that gives the police and prohibition the voter-mandated right to overregulate to the point of full suppression of all cannabis activity? This would definitely make the prison industry happy when people revolt and continue to grow at home. Oh, and by the way, all the tax revenue from the rec sales is now paying for enforcement, new hires on the narcotics task force, and a new fleet of drones configured to look for cannabis. Scary. And I get this all the time. This is not an outlier, folks. I get people like this all the time. So no, I am not scared that it is a Trojan horse. Because the metaphor of the Trojan horse is that you were given a gift that was opaque and you could not see inside of it. And when you took inside, the unknown Trojans would jump out and attack you. There's nothing hidden in Prop 64. You can read the damn thing. It's online. There's no Trojan horses in there. There's no secrets in there. This idea that it's going to get legalized. I love this. This is the other scare I love. Because we got this in Oregon. We got some people that got upset because in our Measure 91, we specified that a certain percentage of the pot tax revenue would go to law enforcement. Oh, people wailed about that one because law enforcement's the enemy, you see. And then we're giving any money to law enforcement. Well, now the argument went, well, now they'll have incentive because they'll get this money, this marijuana tax money, and then they'll have the incentive to go after all the home growers, and there'll actually be more arrests. There'll be more arrests than there were before. But in all the states that have legalized, there have been fewer arrests for home growing. Well, the stats show it. And it also, and that is because when something's legal to home grow or legal to even possess, you have so much less probable cause for the police officers to start the interaction in the first place that leads to them getting to those plants. So, yeah, we're going to legalize marijuana. They're going to hire more narcotics cops and bust more people, even though that's never happened anywhere else. And the new fleet of drones configured to look for cannabis. Yeah, if it's illegal grows out in the national forests, I'm all for that. Just legalizing marijuana is not going to make all that stuff go away. There's still going to be laws to enforce. And finally, let's wrap it up. Issue number four. Where in Prop 64 does it say that cities could only regulate recreational home growing and not medical growing? Where does it say that patients can still grow outdoors? Oh, wait, you haven't even considered these issues. Have you read Prop 64? Kid, not only did I read it, I notated all 62 pages of it, and I posted it online at rad-r.us/allcaps CA-AUMA2. Got all my notes on it. Read the whole thing. No, it doesn't say that cities cannot not regulate medical growing. That's in the Medical Marijuana Act, the MMRSA, the revised statutes. Where does it say patients can still grow outdoors? It doesn't. It says anybody can grow indoors. Even patients who've been banned the ability to grow indoors by certain cities and counties under the medical marijuana law. It improves that for patients. Man, if I didn't smoke so much weed, these people would drive me crazy.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I am a round peg in a square hole.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Yar, Darby Pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just wrapping things up here on CannabisRadio.com.
No show tomorrow. No live show tomorrow. I'll be on the train making my way to Seattle Hemp Fest. Looking forward to that. We'll bring you all the highlights on the shows next week. In Olympics news, American swimmer Ryan Lochte is in a bunch of trouble. He and the other swimmers that claim they got held up at gunpoint. Apparently, their story is full of holes. And the Brazilian government is none too happy about it. Some of the speculation is they got involved into partying a little too hardy. Maybe had disagreements with perhaps a drug dealer, perhaps a purveyor of sex work, so to speak. Oh, what a damn shame for the for the Olympic swimmer there. But what's troublesome about the coverage of this is how some of the media are referring to these guys as kids. All these kids that made these silly mistakes. These kids that they don't have the right attitude, right? Because, wait a minute, aren't these guys 20-something? Right? So these are grown men. Meanwhile, there was all sorts of condemnation of Gabby Douglas for her, not putting her hand on the heart, or of all these different teenage, actual minors, criticizing them, these females and minorities, but the white guy who lies about the lies about getting robbed, he's just a kid. Oh, boys will be boys. That's what they do. That's just the more you pay attention to this kind of stuff, the more it becomes obvious to you, and that you can't help but remark on it. Well, that's all the time we got for today and this week. Thanks for joining us for show number 824. I can't believe it, 824. Got a pretty full schedule coming up here for Seattle Hemp Fest. Plenty of interviews and reports and videos that we'll bring back to you from the mecca of cannabis activism. Got all sorts of great guests coming up on shows next week. Dr. Mitch on Monday. John Getman joins us on Tuesday to talk about rescheduling. Derek Davis from California Cannabis CPA as well. Hemp Day on Wednesday. Cops saying legalized drugs on Thursday. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.